What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting, the podcast all about the average flawed dad learning to be a better parent. Today, we're going to be talking to Kioa de los Reyes. Kioa is the host of the Imperfect Dad podcast. He's also a dance studio owner, a fruit drink business owner, a father to three daughters, and a husband. Kioa lives a busy life, but today we get to chat with him about teaching kids losing is okay, showing your daughters what to look for in men by modeling behavior that they should be looking for in a spouse, being an imperfect father, and some top advice for new dads. Stick around and listen as a couple flawed dads figure out how not to screw up their kids too bad. Before we jump into today's episode, I just want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Leatherman Multi-Tools. Leatherman provides multi-tools that are every dad's go-to tool to solve any problem around the house, when you're out camping, or for just about any other situation that a dad could find themselves in. I know for me, whether I'm out fishing, hunting, camping, or working in my wood shop in the backyard, the Leatherman never leaves my side. Leatherman multi-tools are built to last and have just about every tool inside of them you could need for any situation. If you're looking for a gift for a buddy or want to put something on the wish list for your wife to get you, make sure that it's a Leatherman multi-tool. After all, can you really call yourself a dad if you don't have a Leatherman? And now back to today's episode.
Hey, Kioa.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am doing lovely. It's been a good day.
Good. Good. That's awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us. I'll start. What is it? So what made it a good day? I know you got three girls. You know, it's usually chaotic. It was chaotic in my house today. Like, what made today a good day for you?
I was actually going to watch a rugby game. Some friends came up to play rugby, and I asked them if I could come and watch, and they invited me to come play. And I haven't played in 7 to 8 years.
All right.
So it was fun to get out there and show what old guys can still do, I guess. And I'm now feeling the pain because the adrenaline has worn off.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling the age hit me for sure.
And what position do you play?
So I normally play fullback, but today I played wing.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, you'll feel it more so in the next day or two, I would imagine. So
oh yeah. And there was a few big boys on another squad, and I actually had a good hit on one of the poly kids on the other team. But now I'm feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah. Here. And did your kids come out to watch you play?
Yeah, one of them did. My wife actually came out to watch, and I think it's fun to have my girls see me still play sports at my and see me do well and have fun.
you referenced my age. Appearance wise, you don't seem to be that old. I'm going to be judging here, but it's always interesting, the relativity of things. I was aware a long time ago when I would say, oh, back when I was young or something like that, and I was, you know, like high school age, and I was talking to someone, they're like, hey, go get bent, like when you were young or something like that. You're already young, you go screw yourself type stuff. And so I'm always aware of that when I got my head chewed off by that person before. So I don't think you're that old. Let's just
thank you. Well, I don't look old, but I feel it. I feel the pain more.
Yeah, that is for sure. I recognize that. It's things don't recover quite as well as they used to. So
it's pretty incredible to have your kids come out and watch you though. Hey, like I find I get this rush, like an increase in adrenaline when my kids are there kind of cheering me on. Like, you really want to have that proud dad moment where you're proud of yourself and you show your kids you can still do something.
Well, and the cool thing is we lost, but they could still tell that I had fun and that right. I enjoyed it and that it's okay to lose. Like, you can still have a good time, a fun experience, even when you lose.
Right.
I think we're caught sometimes on the whole, we have to win at everything. We have to win at life. We have to win at this. And losing happens. Like, there's no winning without the losing moments. So
yeah, that's a great lesson for kids to get. So maybe I mentioned that you've got three girls. You mentioned it. Tell us a little bit about your family. What's your background? You know, how old are your kids? That sort of thing.
Yeah. So I got three awesome daughters. I have an older one. The oldest one is 6 years old, and her name is Gigi, or Genesis, but we call her Gigi for short. I have a 3-year-old named Haven, and then I have a 6-month-old named Israel, but we call her Izzy for short. And they're awesome. They're all over the place. They make mistakes. They do amazing things. Being a dad is, it's awesome. It's a lot of work, but I think having that work and seeing them progress and make mistakes and fulfill their goals is part of the process of enjoying fatherhood, right? It's not like it's a moment. It's a bunch of moments that kind of tack onto the journey of being a father. And I'm probably going to miss it when they're out of the house. Right. But right now, it's one of those times where it's like, gosh, sometimes I need to get out of the house.
Yeah, definitely one of those things you remind yourself when you're in those moments. You're like, oh, man, this is, yeah.
We had one of those days today where I turned to my wife and said, you know, this too shall pass. And we're, when they move out, we're going to miss this day, even though this day has been completely and utterly horrible. You know, you're going to look back at it and go, ugh, I wish the girls were here right now, even though they would be completely torturing me. I do miss that.
For you, as a younger man, were you ever in doubt about having daughters or wanting kids or anything like that? Because I asked that because for me, back when I was in university or end of high school, et cetera, I would think, no way do I want to have any type of daughter at all. Like it's, I know what goes on in guys' minds is not right. you know, can't do it. What were your thoughts on that at all?
Yeah. So I think naturally, like with any father, I've always wanted a son, and I've always wanted, I guess my oldest one to be the son, to watch over the rest of the siblings. But my wife and I, we were never scared of having kids. I think the issue we've always had when it came to like having kids, because obviously we had kids younger than a lot of people. And I think the biggest one to finances, like, were we financially set to have kids? And I kind of joked with my wife and I told her, babe, I'm not going to be rich anytime soon. So if finances is the only thing that's stopping us, we will make it work. We'll bring children to this world and hopefully we can be the best parents that we can be. And finances won't be everything. Yeah, we may grow up poor financially, but hopefully we can be rich with everything that we teach them.
Yeah.
So for us, it was never like I was never going to become a dad or had to kind of thought process, but naturally it's a scary thing, right? Yeah. Like when our first was born, I wasn't worried at all until she was actually born. Then it hit me and I was like, oh my gosh, okay, this is real. And now I'm in charge of who this person becomes.
Right.
Like I hope I'm not raising, you know, someone who's going to do bad things. The want is always to raise good children. And just like you though, I know how guys think. I know how guys act. And I think for me right now, I think the easiest way to teach any daughter the kind of man they should date or you know, be in a relationship with is being the best dad to them and being the best husband to your spouse.
Yeah.
If that's available, but treating them like the future guy should be treated so that they know what's off if they're ever in a date and it's not comfortable, that they know, okay, this doesn't seem right because my dad never did this.
Right.
So,
but it's scary. That's a right answer. That's a right answer. Yeah, that's an excellent one. Yeah. Versus my attempt of, I'm just going for mind games. I'm realizing the power of female overall. I'm like, listen, you need to know early on that you control all the cards here, lady. Like these men are all dumb. You could just dance around like little puppets. Like you rule the world. Like this is the game, you know, but with great power comes great responsibility. I have to really hammer that home too. Spider-Man quote galore.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So we came to know each other on Instagram through, I came across your podcast, the Imperfect Dad podcast, which just kind of struck home with me, obviously, with our podcast being the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting. And I wanted to ask you about your podcast and why you started it and why you named it The Imperfect Dad.
Yeah. So for me, I've always wanted to have a podcast, and it wasn't to be cool. It wasn't to make millions of dollars. I love listening to podcasts, and I felt like I could give a lot of things that I've learned to other people. And when it came to kind of choosing what I wanted to do, there was a lot of things I could have chosen from, like dance, right? Everyone expects me to kind of talk about dance, but I wanted to talk about something that was real for me and something that I wanted to get better at. And being a better dad was it. But I think where a lot of dads struggle is they're trying to be the perfect dad, right? So the expectation is so high that when they don't meet it, because everyone makes mistakes, then they feel like they're the worst dad in the world and that they're not succeeding or doing well. And my podcast is all about letting fathers know that you're not going to be perfect. And I know that's so hard to hear sometimes, but you're not going to be perfect, but that's okay. And that's the big thing, that you just got to keep working at it and keep working at it, because it's not about being the perfect dad. It's about being the perfect, or at least the best perfect person you can be for your kids. Everyone's in different situations. You guys are in separate situations. You guys have different kids. Kids are crazy. Each kid is crazy in itself, right? And we're all in different kind of circumstances.
Right.
Some people have a lot of money. Some people don't. So my podcast was all about letting normal dads know it's okay when you make mistakes. Just learn from it. Be the best dad that you can be for your children. And I want, kind of just like you guys, I wanted to bring a podcast where it wasn't from like a scholar's point of view. It wasn't right. from a doctor or therapist. It was from normal dads like us. And it's all about learning together. I'm not trying to teach anyone anything. I'm trying to let them know, this is what I experienced. It was bad. Don't do it. But I well, and learn from it and see if it works with your kids. Right. So honestly, it's a very simple podcast. Just trying to help all dads out there.
When you see an expecting dad or parent come around, do you feel like you need to dump on them a whole bunch of insights of, okay, this is like, here are all the things that I screwed up on, or like, this is what you should probably consider doing, et cetera. Where would you lie in terms of suggesting parent side? Because people cover a whole bunch of different spectrums. Some people just don't want any advice at all. Like, I do my own thing. Don't tell me a darn thing. Like, I'm either perfect or not. But on your side, how do you sit? Do you give advice?
Yeah, I keep it simple. When friends come up to me, because with my group of friends, I'm like the first one to have become a dad.
Yeah.
A lot of people do come up to me. A lot of my friends come up to me, and I keep it very basic. And I let them know, hey, love them. And the best way to spell love is T-I-M-E. And if you think you don't have time now, you're not going to have time when you have a kid. And that's because you should be devoting a lot of that time with your kids, right? Like my friends, when they ask me, and I mentioned this in one of my episodes, when one of my friends asked me, they're like, hey, what's the best advice you can give me? And I know he's a gamer, right? Okay. And I tell him, hey, play less video games because that's not your priority now.
Right.
Your kids are. Or if you want to play, play when they're sleeping. Play right. when you are not needed. So I do give advice, but it's not like scary advice. It's just very simple because it should be.
Yeah.
So since you started your podcast, and you mentioned it was something you started because you wanted to get better at it as well. What would you say are the biggest changes you've had in your parenting and your relationship with your wife since starting it?
It's funny that you bring up my wife, because she listens to every podcast to fact check me. She brings it up all the time. So I learned in your podcast that you need to take your daughters on more dates. Right? And sometimes it kind of hits me like, oh my gosh. But in the end, she's right.
Right.
Right. The reason I'm doing the podcast is to become a better dad. And I have to live by what we talk about. So yeah. it's made me a better dad for sure. And I think with her listening, it makes her understand better how I think as a dad, as a husband, when it comes to fatherhood. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely brought us closer together, but it's made me have to for sure fulfill the challenges I give out on my podcast or the things I talk about. And that's not a bad thing,
right?
But it really keeps me in check, because yes, sometimes you can keep yourself in check, but like working out, if you work out by yourself,
yeah,
a lot of times you might not do all the reps you were planning on. But if you go with someone and you tell them, hey, I got to do this, you're more likely to actually do it because someone is there with you, right? You're accountable to somebody. So my wife has been my accountant when it comes to fulfilling all of these checklists or things I talk about.
So of all the things that she's brought up and held you accountable for, what would you say is the one that you have the most trouble maintaining?
Oh, that's easy. My phone. Being on my phone. And what's hard is I'm a business owner, so people message me all the time, and in my head, I feel like I have to answer them at that moment so I don't lose their business or opportunity for business. But that is one that she mentions a lot. And it's one I talk about a lot as well. Having dinner with your family, not having your phone at the table, not looking at things at the table so you can actually hold conversations. And I fail at that for sure. I'm not going to say I'm perfect, because I'm not. But that's something that she brings up a ton. And it's not like she even has to like say, oh, like sentences or phrases. So she'll just be like, Kiowa. Yeah. And look at the phone and already I know, gosh, I need to put my phone down, because that's distracting me from time with the kids.
That's it. I think that's a problem in most households though. Like that. So it's a rule in our house that my phone goes away at 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock till the kids are in bed, because otherwise I'm on it constantly. As a business owner like yourself, it just, you can't help but be answering messages and calls and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So where does it sounds like your wife's holding you accountable a whole bunch. How does it go the other way? Is she very much like my wife, where she largely can't do anything wrong? Like she's pretty all well-rounded and not much critiquing can be done? Or are there some and you just have to dance around that a little bit?
I mean, I think naturally there are some, and we for sure dance around it. My wife is a stay-at-home mom, so she stays with the kids. We've talked about her working, obviously, when all the kids are in school. But right now, at least with our family, she stays home with the kids. And she's always exhausted. I mean, obviously, if you've been with your kids for an hour or 2 hours at a time, you already know it's nuts. I don't know how women do it, right? I they're obviously built different, because I probably could not do it every single day, hours at a time, multiple kids.
Yeah.
But does it, and I think she does an amazing job, and I struggle a lot because obviously she's found the time, right? She has the time to be with them. When I come home, I have to find the time, I have to find the energy, and sometimes I have to fake the energy, right? Because we're exhausted after work.
Yeah.
And I already deal with kids and then I come home to my own kids. So finding that balance is tough. And I've never looked at it as per se my wife being perfect, but I think she does a better job just because she's home a lot more, for sure.
Yeah. I think most men would agree that their wives are probably much better at this than they are. It's just one of those innate things. And you know, they have a level of care and concern that we don't, you know, we didn't push these kids out of ourselves physically. So, you know, they've got a lot more skin in the game per se.
It is certainly something to be, you mentioned it yourself. You come back from work and you're sort of tired from the day. And it's like, I just kind of want to relax a little bit. But I mean, from a spouse's perspective as well, I'm sure it's like, well, I can't wait for you to get home too, because I got to tap out for these snot-nosed kids here. Like, this is like, I'm exhausted from these three things. It's like death by a million cuts here. Like, I got to back out too. It's hard from that perspective. I can see how both sides, you know, it's here's a TV or something, other kids, like, we're just going to lie on the floor for 30 minutes and just like kind of get back to normalcy or something.
Well, and I think that's one thing I've been trying to work on. Cause when I get home, I'm tired. And I'm like, and I know my wife is tired and we're working on dinner. And my natural instinct is to go, girls, go watch a movie.
Right.
Right. Like, go, I guess, take care of yourselves or go be distracted, when it should be, girls, let's go play outside. Right. I can still obviously take them out of the house away from my wife as she decompresses or gets dinner ready and still enjoy some quality time. But that has to come from us as fathers.
Yeah.
Because if not, then they're just looking at a screen. And what's the use of that, of our time being spent together, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So you're obviously very purposeful in what you do and the modeling that you're showing your girls, that sort of thing. What is it that you're hoping in terms of the character traits they pick up from you and from this modeling that are... What are the most important character traits for them to develop going into adulthood?
I think for me, it's, I want them to be good citizens in whatever community they are in. I want them to be the best Genesis they can be, or the best Haven they can be, and letting them know that they can accomplish anything they want. Obviously, they have to work at it. They have to do so many things. And I want them, I mean, like I mentioned before, trying to lay that foundation of the kind of guy they should marry,
yeah,
the kind of guy they should date. Because obviously, as a father, I'm not going to have control over that, nor do I want to control that. I think that's part of finding your spouse is you got to decide on your own, right? It can't be a, well, my dad loves him, so I'm going to marry him. No,
right.
It has to be, you have to understand you need to love them as well. But your dad has taught you what to look for, what good characteristics to look for. And not because I mentioned it, but because they've seen it, right? A lot of people are visual learners. So when they see me open the door for mom, they understand, okay, chivalry isn't dead. That's what a lot of men should be doing, right? But sometimes we don't see that. And it's, this is what's going to happen. Either you can teach them or the world is going to teach them. So world's crazy. It's a crazy place. So I will teach them in my home, in my castle, the best I can, so that hopefully they make the least amount of mistakes out in the world, because they're going to make it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want them to know that, what to look for, and that no matter what mistake they make, whatever it is, dad's there.
Yeah.
Dad's going to help them be the best person they can be. So
now you live a pretty busy life between three kids, a dance studio, you know, the podcast, all that sort of thing. How do you find balance? Like, how do you balance all that out in your life?
So I also run a fruit drink business, which
of course, why not?
Yeah,
I know. Why not? I think the biggest thing, and I've actually been talking about this with my wife and some family members today, is how can you spend more time with your kids when you're busy? Luckily, I'm in a position where I can include some of my kids.
Hmm.
So my oldest comes to dance. She takes classes at my studio, but she's also in class with me all the time. And it's not so much because I force it, but because she loves it. So we get to enjoy something together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a big one is, if you can, include your kids,
right?
Teach your kids what you like to do, what hobbies you like to do, what you do for work, so they can better understand you as a father, as a person. And if they want to get involved, if it's like a sport, like I love rugby, I love soccer, I love volleyball. And if they're interested, I teach them so that when they see dad score a try, or they see dad score a goal, or a kill in volleyball, they understand that's how it's done. That looks cool. I want to try it. So I think incorporating our kids with what we do can help beyond the just spending time, but actually having them see what you do and see what you enjoy so that they can see what they want to do or see what they want to enjoy.
Would you say that that's like the spending time with your kids? Would you say that that's the area that dads could work on the most in your opinion? Or is there something else, another area that you think dads should be really focused on working on?
No, I think spending time with their kids. Well, I think we can break that down into kind of two sections.
Sure.
Because I feel like a lot of dads do spend time with their kids, but I think the quality part of it is kind of where some dads could work on if they already are spending time, right? So mm-hmm. if you aren't, obviously working on spending time with your kids is a big one. And if you already are, making that more quality instead of just like, I'm not against watching movies, but if watching movies all the time is something you do, change it up. Because in a movie, you're not supposed to talk, right? It's like a terrible first date because you're not getting to know the other person.
Right.
And in the end, we're trying to build relationships with our kids, right? You're trying to get to know them. So whether you change up one night, instead of watching a movie, going for a walk, mm-hmm. right? Going to the park, or trying the new pottery or paint place, even if you can't do it, that's the best.
Yeah.
Choosing something you both aren't good at, right? Because then you get to see, she gets to see dad make mistakes.
Right.
You get to see her and you can see that it's okay. Like, you don't have to be good at everything, but trying out new things, it's fun. So I think spending time with the kids is a big one. And we've seen movies where, you know, rich kids, parents get divorced, or the kid hates their dad because they never got to spend time with them. Or we know the phrase, you were never there. You don't understand. It's been something I've tried to push and something I've tried to work on. Am I perfect? Far from it. Yeah. But I try the best that I can be.
Just on that topic, so spending time with kids, et cetera, what are one thing or a few things that you just hate to do with the kids, but you do them anyways? You know, like the things like this needs to get done or whatever it is. But man, for me, playing Barbies, I despise it, but I do it.
Yeah. So I have one, and I do hate it, and I try to cut it as short as possible as I can. Going on bike rides. Or it's more going on walks around our neighborhood, but the girls are riding bikes. If you ask my wife, she can sense that it's not something I enjoy. I try to turn our routes smaller and smaller every single time. But I know it's something the kids love. Obviously, I know it's something my wife loves because we get to talk during that. I get to talk to the girls. So I shouldn't not like it, but it is one of those things. I'm just like, oh, okay, let's do it because I know we should, but I might not enjoy all of this.
What is it that you don't enjoy about it?
I don't know. I feel like I feel like I could be using my time better.
Okay.
Like I could be working on my business better, or right. I could be making dinner or this or that. But the reason I stay with it is because my kids are still young, but they are growing up so fast. Time is going by so quickly that I'm missing moments, and I know I am. And it scares me because I talk about in the podcast, I talk with other people about spending time with their kids. And as they get older and it gets faster, I'm scared that I might not have spent enough time with the kids. Mm-hmm. I'm scared that my daughter might go, but dad, you weren't there. You don't understand. So anytime it's one of those, oh, I don't want to do it, I think about that. And I'm like, girls, I don't even care if it's 40 degrees outside. Put a coat on. We are going on this walk, and we do it. Hopefully it's something they remember and they do with their kids. And what stinks about it is we can teach our kids so many things and they might not even fully understand it or be grateful for it until their parents themselves or they're older. It's like a gamble, right? You're throwing everything and hoping that 10, 20 years later, maybe it clicks and they go, gosh, I did enjoy that time with my dad and mom walking. I hated those bike rides too.
That's the craziest part about parenting, isn't it? The end result is so far away. It's like a scientist, a long-term study that you have no idea what the outcome is. It's, there's no like analytics that you can report back after a day or two. Okay, I see how this has worked. And okay, good. I can improve on this, et cetera.
Planting trees.
Exactly.
Yeah. So of all the things that you've talked about on your podcast, I'm wondering, is there anything that stuck out for you that people really grabbed onto that you weren't expecting? Like, was there anything that, you got a whole lot of interaction out of it when you were thinking, wow, I would have thought that this would have had more, more impact, like something that really got people energized?
I think so. My first episode, is titled "Who Am I?"
Mm-hmm.
And what we talked about was laying a foundation or like an understanding of where you are now when you listen to it and where you want to be. Because I actually got a lot of interaction, and maybe it was because it was the first episode, right? But I got a lot of interaction saying, I never thought of it that way. Like, I was just trying to be a dad and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think if we can plan out a little bit, then at least we have some goals that we can set to become a better dad. And I honestly, when was the last time you thought of setting a goal as a dad? Right. Like,
right.
Oh my gosh, let's spend X amount of hours with my kids. No, we don't do that. We think about, let me spend time with our kids, right? So I think if we can pinpoint certain things, then we can see numbers. And I know we shouldn't talk about being a father and numbers like that, but we know that when we look at numbers, it changes our mindset, and it's something we can grasp. It's like playing basketball.
You can gamify parenting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you play basketball without points and you're just playing for fun, then you're just doing whatever's.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're trying to win, or if you're trying to hit a certain amount of 3 points, then that drive and push at least leads you into a direction. So when I talked about that in my first episode, I had a lot of dads, and I had a lot of dads that, I don't know, email me, message me, and we actually had some fun conversations. And that's been the best thing about doing this type of podcast, is to see dads understand what's happening and tell me that they want to be better dads. For me, that's a win, because I think every child deserves an amazing dad. I know I had one, and I love him, and I love everything he taught me. I think every kid deserves that, but not every kid gets that. So for us who are in positions to do that, we need to use that and make use of the kids that we have, right? And what they can learn. Cause there are a lot of kids out there who grow up without a dad, and that's a very sad thing. So let's make the best of what we have and what our kids have.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. We've definitely talked to a lot of dads on this podcast who grew up without them and have really tried to swing things the other way. Actually, it's seldom we hear from somebody who actually had a great dad, and that's been their mentor. I know Graham and I are both in that position, but
fortunate for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely very fortunate about it. So I know we've taken up a lot of your evening here. So we'll close it out here. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Great to chat with you. Where can everybody find you? Obviously, Imperfect Dad is the name of your podcast. Where else can people find you?
Yeah, you can check out the podcast, The Imperfect Dad, right? On whatever platform you listen to your podcast on. You can also check me out on Instagram at Kiowa Delos Reyes. You might have to leave a link, because that is a crazy name.
I'll leave it in the notes.
Yes. And feel free to send me a message. I love talking to people. Obviously, if you can hear this podcast, I talk a lot. But it's awesome because I teach dance. We've talked a little bit about that, but this is the first year that I've gotten a few dance jobs where they're not really asking me to teach dance as much as motivate kids. And for me, that is awesome. That's something I've worked for because I'm all about the kids. I'm all about motivating them to be, you know, the best kid they can be. Don't get me wrong. I love teaching dance, but I love that I can use now this medium and this platform to help kids. So check me out on Instagram or Facebook. I would love to talk to you. If you got issues you're having with your kids, promises, I probably had the same ones or am still having it. Let's have them together and let's figure it out.
Awesome. Well, thank you. We'll definitely make sure that all that's in the show notes. Thank you to everybody listening. If you made it this far, which is awesome, make sure to subscribe to our podcast. If you get a chance, go and rate and review it. That helps a lot with the podcast algorithm per se. Check us out on Instagram as well. Thanks so much. Have a great evening.